You're listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Up next, we have a November 2nd church service featuring a message from Pastor Len and music from Nicole and the worship team.
In Psalms 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is anything wicked in me, in any way, and lead me in the way everlasting."
Inside and flee. Do they have any relevance to believers today? Absolutely. Would you turn in your Bibles or look on the screen to Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Try to picture the scene in your mind. The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them. The skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as they commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Some of you younger people have probably never heard the song Dry Bones or Dem Bones. But those of my vintage will understand it. The toe bones connected to the foot bone. Foot bones connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bones connected to the leg bone. And so on it goes. It works methodically up the body until it comes up to the neck and says, "The neck bones connected to the head bone. Now hear the word of the Lord." You see what you younger people have missed? This song was taken from Scripture, no doubt. Those dry bones will hear the word of the Lord. They will come alive because God is God of the living. Our God is not into dead things. This is a song of renewal and revival. Someone wrote a more modern application. No doubt it was tongue-in-cheek. So take it with a grain of salt, if you would. Talking about the modern bones in our churches. First of all, there's the lazy bones. Those are folk who do nothing in church, they just occupy a pew. Then there are the jawbones. They have a telephone ministry. Gossipers. Then there are the wishbones. "Oh, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that." Then there are the skull bones. Let's say they're strong-willed and perhaps stubborn. And they're the ones most likely to say, "Hey, we've never done it that way before." Next, there are the worn bones. These folks are retired from their duties, from their responsibilities. "I've done it for all these years. I'm tired." Then there are the backbones. These are the spirit-filled doers of the word. These are the faithful supporters who joyfully follow their God. These are the ones who count it a privilege to serve their risen King, as we sang about this morning. Now picture the scene that Ezekiel paints for us. In this vision, God transports Ezekiel to a desert valley completely devoid of any signs of life. Got it? As Ezekiel looks around, he can see nothing but dried bones scattered all over the place. That signifies there once was life, but now it is desolate and barren. It's like an exposed graveyard full of dry bones. It was not just an odd bone here and there. There were millions of bones scattered out as far as the eye could see. Think of what a foreboding and depressing sight that must have been for Ezekiel. It was as if a great Holocaust had taken place sometime long ago. And these bones were very dry. They were picked clean by the hungry buzzards. They were baked in the blazing sun. They were bleached white. There was no life left in them. It might have looked as evil and demonic as some people's yards on Halloween night. Ezekiel must have wondered what these people were like when they were living, when they had life in them. And those that sight must have sent chills down his spine. He would just want to flee to some place that was more pleasant, where there's trees and rivers and flowers and so on. Any place that exhibited signs of life. Does that foreboding scene of those dry bones remind us in any way of today's Western church? Church at large, I'm speaking. Dead? Representing a politically correct social gospel, having only a form of godliness, but devoid of the power it takes to transform lives. Lifeless, having left the teaching of the true word of God to embrace secular humanism, deviant sexual practices, paganism, the culture of our day, and even some aspects of demonism. Scattered. Having embraced the mystical practices of the emergent church, the distorted teachings of the prosperity gospel, having commingled the holy teachings of Christ with that of false religions and cults. Many of the older churches, if you remember, had graveyards attached to the side of them or just behind them. They were full of old dead bones waiting for their resurrection. But the graveyard isn't the only place where we find dry bones. Speaking in general terms now of the modern church, I want to say that many churches themselves are full of dry bones. That's a hard message to preach this morning, folks. But I think this church is different. Different. Your pastor boldly speaks the word of God from the pulpit, and he teaches it all the time. The radio station broadcasts a complete and full gospel. Your people pray for one another. You meet together. You love one another. I can see that. You exhibit that your lives have been changed. People are coming to know the Lord. Praise God for that. But the church in the Western Hemisphere is only a skeleton of its former self. Don't you agree? The life has gone out of her. In many cases, the church is little more than a social club. She's no longer the living, breathing church body of Jesus Christ. She's not fulfilling her mission to go out and reach the lost. She's not being salt and light in her world. She no longer stands for Jesus Christ and righteousness. No longer stands for the inerrant truth of God's word. No longer stands for morality. No longer set apart to serve their God. She seems to have little concern for training up of our younger generation. I was so glad to hear that you're starting a Sunday school. How desperately we need the return of Sunday schools in our churches to train our young people. We need Christian schools. We need after-school clubs. We need vacation Bible schools. We need youth groups. Instead, we see all too many polished preachers promoting their own kingdoms, using a Hollywood-style entertainment of lights and smoke and mirrors to attract people, and they make a mockery of the gospel of God. The church, in many cases, is nothing but dry bones. Who wants to be associated with dry bones anyway? Could that be why people don't see the need of Christ in their lives? Someone who could meet all of their needs. Ezekiel took note of the number of bones that were there. It says there was enough to build a vast army. An army that could go forth and conquer. Think about it. There's enough bones sitting in church pews today to build a mighty army. If the millions of people who occupy the church pews on any given Sunday were to truly come alive, our world would be drastically changed, wouldn't it? John Wesley said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell. I firmly believe that if we become an army of God, living what we preach, we would revolutionize the world. The Spirit of God would be so evident in our lives and the way we live that we would be perceived in a different way in our community. We would be known by our love, not hypocrisy, by our caring, not our indifference, by our gentleness, not smugness. The early church was literally transformed, it transformed the mighty Roman Empire in a matter of just a few years by the power and the Spirit of God. Amen. The prophet also noticed that these bones were scattered all over like a debris field. God took Ezekiel exploring among that endless field of bones. Wouldn't that be an exciting, stimulating tour? The Word of God says he went back and forth among them. And these bones were disconnected. They were scattered because there was nothing holding them together. As I thought about that aspect, I wonder just how scattered we are in Creston. Scattered in regard to our Christian ministries. The evangelical churches can't seem to come together to bring in an evangelist or a singing group to work together toward revival. We can't even seem to fellowship. Don't you think a mighty spirit revival would absolutely shake this valley? We need a spirit revival. We forget that we're Christ's ambassadors. We're his representatives here on earth. We forget that we're here on earth for one specific purpose, to glorify and to serve our God. As Ezekiel surveyed that debris field of dried bones that shouted death and they screamed of hopelessness, God asked him a question. It was a question he couldn't answer. Can these bones live? What a stunning question. Can these bones live again? How would you answer that question? Can we as a body of believers come together and live and breathe and do God's work? Can we become a living, impacting, example-setting, unifying, Christ-centered church of God? Can the churches in Creston be revived, become vibrant for the Lord? I believe the answer is a resounding yes. If you agree, say amen. Amen. God wants each of us to come alive again. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit, with life and with power. We sing about it, but what do we do about it? I personally feel a need for a refreshing from the Spirit of God. I need revival. How about you? Today we're going to be looking at three keys to truly becoming alive in Christ. The first one is really hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes I can read a chapter in a book, and after I finish, I don't have the foggiest idea what I read. Have you been there? Nothing registers in your mind. Spiritually, the same thing can happen. If we're spiritually dead or if we're scattered, we can come to church. We can hear a gospel message. We can read the Word of God every day. But nothing will actually register in our hearts, just our minds. Until we really hear the Word of the Lord, nothing's going to change. We'll be like that valley of dry bones. Quoting verse 4, God commands, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So often we say, seeing is believing. But in the spiritual context, hearing, really hearing, is believing. We can hear the word of the Lord with our ears and be completely unaffected by it. Some of us have been hearing the word of the Lord for 30, 40, or maybe more years and still remain unchanged. Really hearing the word of the Lord requires doing something with what you hear, responding, making application. If the word of the Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy, we have no other response that we can make other than to be holy as he is holy. If the word of God tells us to be sanctified and set apart for God, we have no other response than to be sanctified and set apart for his service. Christ must become the priority in our life. Obedience must follow. If the word of God says we are to be living sacrifices, we better be prepared to crawl upon that altar. Now, as Ezekiel was prophesying, the bones began to shake and to rattle and to come together. Can you imagine what Ezekiel was going through? The word of the Lord stirred those bones up from where they'd been lying all those years and drew them together. Really hearing the word of the Lord will stir us and it will bring us together. At least two young men from this church have gone off to Bible college to learn more about serving God. That's marvelous. I know of a young convert in our church who's really anxious to see the church reach out beyond its own walls and to explore how they can work together with the other churches to bring about revival. That's God at work. Another example of God working is the start of the Freedom Sessions. God is speaking. Hear the word of the Lord. A second key or step to bringing these bones to life is putting some flesh on those bones. Look at what God wants to do in our lives from verse 6. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, and I'll cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. God gathered up those scattered bones. He joined them together to form a skeleton, but there was still no life in the body. The skeleton is not a functioning body. Coming to life is a process. Revival is a process. Charles Atlas, you read about him. He was a 98-pound weakling, and the bully stole his girlfriend down at the beach. So Charles Atlas went home, and he pumped iron for 6 months. And he went back to the beach and he beat up that bully and he took his girlfriend back. I think she's fickle anyway, but nevertheless. He put meat on the bone and muscle on his skeleton, on his bones. If you're tired of the devil kicking around your spiritual life, put some spiritual meat on your bones. Resist him and he will flee. Is there anyone here that has done weight training? Anyone who trains will tell you that bulking up requires exercise. It requires a steady and a regimented course of activity. Not just any old activity, but specified activities that will add body mass. We're all good at keeping busy, aren't we? That doesn't work. We need to exercise our faith. Diet is another aspect. If we don't eat, we're not going to grow, are we? Period. If we physically eat the same amount that we take in spiritually each week, would we look like a muscular Charles Atlas, or would we look more like some poor starving soul in Ethiopia? I doubt if any of us would be obese. One snack a week on Sunday morning, no matter how filling, no matter how pleasant and satisfying it is, it can't sustain life. Are you getting the connection? Some of us exist on a diet of spiritual rice cakes. Mere fluff. And we don't really digest the word of God, and so we remain spiritual skeletons. The dry bones that Ezekiel saw in his vision had no flesh on them. They were representative of a church that was spiritually starved. We see lots of mega churches on television, don't we? Numbers don't mean anything, and I repeat that. Numbers don't mean anything. Many of these churches are mere skeletons, just bones. Tailored suits draped over a skeleton, I repeat. God is not into dead things. If we're serious about being Christ's church, serious about revival, serious about serving God, we must begin thinking about diet and exercise. We're thinking of a revival. We must generate a thirst for study, a hunger for prayer and fellowship, a desire for praise and worship. We have to exercise our faith and put feet to our good intentions. We cannot be just a church on Sunday morning. The best diet's the Word of God. The best exercise is obedience. Revival isn't something that God's going to bestow upon us like the queen or the king would bestow knighthood on someone who's kneeling before them. It has to be sought. We have to desire it and be willing to do whatever it takes before God's going to send it. Look at how Nineveh, they fasted and they prayed and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God brought revival. In every revival that I've ever read about, it was preceded by a concerted effort and fervent prayer. Someone or some group had to step out and desire it more than anything else. Perhaps we're afraid of revival because we've never really experienced it before. We don't know what it's like to be totally filled with the Spirit of God. We fear to step out of the boat and walk on water. And fella, folks, I'm in the same boat as you are. Verses 7 and 8 paints a vivid picture of how those rattly dried bones came together to form a body with sinews and muscles on them and skin. Can you picture that happening in your minds? The body's complete, but it is still dead. It is lifeless. What good is a body if it's lifeless? It can't do the work because the Spirit is not in it. It can't perform any task because it doesn't have the will to carry it out. It doesn't have a vision for the future. It doesn't have sympathy for the lost because it has no feelings. It can't serve the risen Savior because there's no life. That's a picture of many of the modern churches and believers. We have all the component parts, but we lack the spiritual life. That's the third key. I remind you once again, our God is not into dead things. Verse 10, I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Picture the wow factor there, if you would. Breath, in this case, is symbolic of the Spirit of God. Verse 14 says, God says, I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live. The Spirit of God is a key to life. Just before Jesus rose to heaven, he gave his followers this promise. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is not some future event. This is our commission today. This is precisely what God wants to do in our day, in our churches, in our lives. He wants to raise a mighty army. He wants to breathe into us the breath of life and revive the dead bones of our worship, the dead bones of our prayer life, the dead bones of our ministries, the dead bones of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life so we could truly live. God has been laying the town of Creston on my heart. He's been showing me the need for revival, the need for involvement, the need for sacrifice, the need for the churches of the valley to work, the Christian churches of the valley to work together, to demonstrate to the community that even though we differ on some minor points, we come together under the umbrella of the cross of Jesus Christ in his shed blood for us. Amen? Yeah. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, my heart, we need to respond. We need to rededicate. We need to recommit our lives to do his work. I hope you're not satisfied where you're at right now. My prayer is that each of us would have that desire to draw closer to our God, to serve him better. These dry bones can be revived. They can come alive. Do you agree? If you want to see God's Holy Spirit poured out on us, if you want to experience personal revival, church revival, whole town revival, perhaps national revival, I encourage you to dedicate your lives to pray for that revival. I'm going to ask the worship team if they will come and lead us in a closing song at this time. And if God is speaking to you, I encourage you to raise your hand or to stand, or even if you don't want to come up to the front, as a public commitment to prayer and to working toward revival. That's up to you. Can these bones live again? I believe the resounding answer must be yes. In God's power, anything and everything is possible. May God stir you this morning and bring you a blessing. Let's sing this closing song as our closing prayer. We'll sing it twice, and let's sing it as a prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. From the depths of our heart, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, melt me, mold me, make me. I trust we will work on that in the coming days. May God bless you as you go. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget, you're always welcome to join us next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. We'd love to worship with you.